Well, good morning. I want to welcome everyone to Healing School here on Thursday morning at High Point. For those of you who are watching, we've had a time of worship and talking about trusting in the Lord, and that's going to lead us directly into what the Lord has given me to share with you today. So let me just decree that our hearts are open wide to hear. And Holy Spirit, we just give you permission to move in this place today. You're the teacher, and I thank you that you're the one that will give me utterance. And you'll also work with these, your people here, to hear those things that they need in our life. So again, we open our hearts to you, and we declare today, we will hear your voice, and we will never be the same again, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be talking today about trusting in the Lord, but I want to do a very quick review. Last week, in the second one in our series on protecting what we've entrusted to Him, we looked at some scriptures. Let me just go through quickly some of what those said. He is the faithful God who keeps you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. And then I really like this one because it's personal. And this is the way the scriptures need to be with us. This is from Joshua 1. He told Joshua, I will not fail you. And that's the same word that we can receive today. Nor forsake you. We saw this word that said God is forever faithful and can be trusted. And that's a great lead-in to what we're going to be talking about today. And then we close by looking at this one. Not one of His good promises to the children of Israel failed. They all came to pass. That's the faithful God who we have. Now we've been talking for 3 weeks looking at three promises that we have. And in these promises we've seen the Godward side of it, but we've also seen what we're to do with it. The first one has been, we've been anchored in, is in Psalms 55. We're not going to read these on the screen. Verse 22, and it says, cast your burden upon the Lord and He will sustain you. And I like what one translation says. It says, cast your burden on Him and He will hedge you in. He's going to put a protection around you. And in that protection also, the good shepherd's going to provide everything you need. Everything that you need. But we cast our burden. That's our part so that He can sustain us. Then we look at 1 Peter 1:5. And concerning us, it says that we are the ones who are protected by the power of God. So that's His part. What's our part? Through faith, it says. So in believing. And then the one we're going to talk more about today, and I just want to read you the Passion Translation for 2 Timothy 1:12. Says, for I have an intimate revelation of God, and my faith in Him convinces me that He is more than able to keep or to guard all that I've placed in His hands, safe and secure until the fullness of His appearing. Now, we've spent time the past 2 weeks talking about things that detract us from receiving. We talked about several questions that gets asked as we go through believing God and receiving what we ask for. And what did we see? That a lot of times when things don't come like we think, well, why God, or why did you allow this? But what have we seen? That why is the wrong question. In fact, I would say it's not honoring God at all. And it's really exhibiting a degree of how we trust when we start questioning that way. So what is the right question? Well, the scripture that we're going to look at in depth says what? That He's able to keep those things that we have committed to Him, that we have entrusted. So if we don't commit those things to Him, then what are we doing? We're not putting it in His hands to guard. And so that is really key in this. And then last week, we looked particularly at the children of Israel and at Job, at some things they did that caused them issues. And what were some of those things? Complaining, grumbling, and complaining is a big deal now. Before they went to complaining, what happened? They also became impatient. Job, he was just crying about all his children were doing. He was really worrying about them is what we saw. And he was saying things that he shouldn't have been saying. And what happened? He said, well, those things that I dreaded have now come upon me. And so we see that we play a role in this. But the good news from last week is in every one of those cases, the people repented. And that's the gift that we have today of repentance. And we want to be quick to repent when we've seen no condemnation to ourselves. And what happened when they repented? Everything was returned to them. Now, let's look at on the screen 2 Timothy 1:12, and we're going to look at it in the New American Standard Bible. And we're going to talk about, I trust the Lord. It says, for this reason also I suffer these things. He's talking about the persecutions that he was going through. And the word doesn't tell us we're free from those. We're going to experience them. But he says, but I'm not ashamed. And here we go in the key parts that I wanted to talk about. For I know whom I have believed. In other words, he had a deep knowledge of Jesus, whom he believed. And we're going to talk about believing today and the role it plays in trust as well as faith. And he goes on and says, and I'm convinced, he's confident that he is able, and that word there is a word that is taken from dunamis, which is that miracle working power. That's the strength that he's talking about that he's able to execute in order to guard what I have entrusted, King James says, committed to him. And so I really want to focus today on that phrase, what I have entrusted to him. Because you're going to see that what we are able to entrust to him is a reflection of our trust for him, our commitment to him. The definition of entrust in Webster today is to confer a trust on. In other words, to deliver something to someone with confidence that you know they're going to do what they told you they would do with it. It's that absolute confidence. So I just want you to confess with me right now. I can trust Jesus in all things. Let's say it twice more together. I can trust Jesus in all things. I can trust Jesus in all things. Now, I don't want to put it up on the screen right now because we're going to go through some more scriptures before we really talk about it. But Proverbs 3rd chapter, 5th verse starts out and says, trust in the Lord. Now, when I see phrases like that, I don't view them as a hint. I view them as a commandment. And so that's what I really want to talk about today. But when we hear that word trust, I want us to begin to think about, what does it mean to me? How important is trust? Are there benefits of trust? What am I putting my trust in? What am I looking for him to do? How do I do it? All these questions seem to arise. So we're going to address that. But I first want to kind of set the table. I want to look at 5 verses today. And I picked these 5 out of 8 pages of verses on trust in small print. I say that to say it is important. And a majority of them, or a significant number of them, came from David, who accomplished great things. And that says to me he was dealing with trust a lot. There were times when he needed to reassure himself. So we're going to go through these quickly. Psalm 9, verse 10, and all these are going to be from the New King James. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So again, we see what? One of the benefits of putting our trust is never being forsaken. The next verse is Psalm 18, verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. Let me just stop there and say, the word of the Lord is tried. It is tested. It will come to pass. And then it says, he is a shield, and I would ask, for who? To all who trust in him. So again, we're seeing this my part and the Lord's work on our behalf. Psalm 22, verses 4 and 5. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted. And what happened? You delivered them. Verse 5 says similar thing. They cried to you. Now this is not, oh God, what are we going to do? This is, Lord God, I trust you. Just like in with Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. So they told him the problem, but they were trusting in him. And what happened? They were delivered. And it says one more time, they trusted in you. And as a result, there was no shame. They were not ashamed. Then Psalm 28, verse 7. says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped." So we see another result. Any kind of help we need starts with trust. Therefore, so the result of this trusting and seeing that we have been helped starts before we see it. How? By our heart greatly rejoicing just because we trust, and with our songs we praise Him. And then the last one, Psalms 37 verse 5. Commit your way. Here's that word commit. And you're going to see it again several times. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, things that we have prayed about already this morning, those things, if we are trusting in Him, if we committed it to Him as we did, then what should we expect? It shall come to pass. It shall be well with those that we prayed for. So go with me now to Proverbs, the third chapter. And if you've got a ribbon in your Bible, you may want to put it there, because we're going to go off and come back. And we're going to spend the majority of our time on two verses. So let's just read these two verses, 5 and 6 together, and then we'll come right back to 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Now, I tried to think back from the very beginning of Healing School, which has been just over 5 years we've been doing this, of all the times we've taught that verse, or I've heard others teach it. And it is dozens upon dozens, if not nearing 100. So we've talked about this a lot. So we all must think it's very important. But let's just focus now on trust in the Lord. First thing I want to do is just examine what this word in Hebrew means for trust. It's spelled in the English way of writing it, batach, in B-A-T-A-C-H. And it literally means, and I'm going to read you what Strong says, because I had to look a word up. It means to hie, H-I-E, for refuge. Now, I didn't know what that word meant. That's not a word I use every day. What H-I-E means is to go quickly or to hasten. So let's read it that way. Go quickly for refuge. That's what this word trust means in the Hebrew language. It also can imply trust, to be confident in, or have a surety. Now, when I read this definition of it, my mind went immediately to Psalm 91, where it says, "I will say of the Lord, You are my, and my, You're my strength and my fort, or my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." And so we get a picture then of what trust means by those two verses to the Hebrew mind in the Hebrew language. Now, in our English, I want to just talk about what it means as a noun and what it means as a verb, because both of them are good. It means an assurance, I would say a guarantee, guaranteed reliance on. And here's what we're relying on. And this is from Webster now. Character, ability, strength, or truth of someone. Boy, doesn't that just nail our God right there? Let me read it again. An assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, and truth, and I'll say, of our Lord Jesus. And then as a verb, it means to commit. Here's that word once more. One's care or keeping, to entrust. So we actually see that in the definition. It also means to go or to venture out confidently. So that says to me that if I'm trusting, I can walk with assuredness, with confidence, that I've turned it over to one who has all the ability, all the love for me, all the power to bring it about, and I can go confidently. Can we bring up the Amplified version of that, please? The Amplified does a real good job, I think, of amplifying it here with what I think are some key words that we want to look at. It's talking about, in the very first, it says, to lean on, to trust in, and to be confident in. to lean on, to trust in, and to be confident in. Now, if I'm have assurance that someone is going to do and I can rely on them, then what do we think? Well, I can lean on them just like I lean on this and know it what? That that's going to hold me up. It's going to support me. Trust, we understand. The confident part is also key. You've all seen the exercises, and I had to do this in some group exercises of building camaraderie, of standing on a table and just falling back, knowing folks were going to catch me. All kind of exercises that helped me build my confidence that they would take care of me. So these are three words that I think we also need to put in our mind concerning trust, to lean on, to trust in, and to be confident. And so we begin to see in this, to do that, I'm going to have to believe some things. And that goes right back even to the definition that Webster had of his character, his nature, his ability. And knowing that what? That I am going to do it for you, for me. So it's that personal part of it. So what are we trusting him to do? To be what? I want you to look at, and just what does it involve? I want to look at scripture versus just giving you my opinion. So go to Psalm 34, verse 8. Because as I studied this, the Lord just brought some things to my attention that I think gives us great insight into trust. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience him is what I believe that's talking about. And what are we experiencing? Everything he does for me is good, because he loves me. And then look at what that next phrase says. Blessed. Now, when I see blessed, and it's not talking just about bless you, I think of the blessing. I go back to what first words that Adam heard about being blessed, which is empowered to prosper. Blessed is the man who does what? Who trusts in him. So can I flip that around and say then, if I trust in him, I can walk in the blessing? I believe we can. Now, let me give you one more, because I just don't want to throw one out there. Look at Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Now, I'm also reminded in reading these what the Lord said in Deuteronomy to his people. 30, verse about 19. This day I've set before you what? Blessing and cursing, life and death. And so, here we are. Looking at this once more. Blessed is the man who trusts, plural, or active sense, in the Lord. But look at that last phrase. Whose trust is the Lord? So it just amps it up. We can trust his word because we trust him. So he is the one whom we trust. Now look at verse 8. Because it tells us when we are blessed, what we're going to look like. So he's telling you, you look like this tree that's planted by the water. Now, water is essential for life. And we don't just have a little. We've got a stream that's flowing. And then it says that extends its roots by a stream. And look what a component of trust is too. And it will not fear when heat comes. So when something comes against it. But its leaves, even though something's come against it, is going to stay green. That's your promise today. Something has come against you, but you're going to stay green and flexible and pliable. And then it says, and it will not be anxious in a whole year of drought, because its leaves are going to be green, and what else is going to happen? It won't cease to bear and to produce fruit. And I would say, and add with it, fruit that remains. So blessed means empowered to prosper. I think about the blessing of the Lord, and it starts based on his love, his goodness, and his desire to give it to you and I. And that's the trust that he wants us to have. So as I prayed about this, trust to me then becomes aligned with my commitment, what I'm willing to commit, to him. In other words, I'm willing to place all that I am in his hands, even when things look bad. And that's really when we learn about our trust is when trouble comes. Because trouble will test trust. So how does that differ then from faith? Well, what does Hebrews 11 tell us? Faith is the substance or assurance of things not seen, the evidence or the conviction, though, that they exist, and I would say, and are mine. So this trust is us placing ourselves and fully committing ourselves to His hands and His care. But faith then, both involving believing, is that component that says, I can take what I know and what I trust Him to give, and I can take it and receive it as mine. And I'm going to tell you, both are important, because we just see both of those so much in Scripture. And then we go to the next phrase in Proverbs 3, verse 5, that we're going to trust Him how? With our whole heart, our whole being. In other words, I am willing to commit all that I am, all that I have to Him. So if that's what we're going to supposed to commit to Him, what do we make sure we don't want to make a commitment to in our life? In this next phrase, says it. And look at how it starts out. And do not lean. So might I say, and do not trust? Because that's one of the examples of definitions that we saw. Do not lean on my own understanding. Do not lean on my own understanding. Now, why is this an issue? Well, versus me telling you, let's go back to Jeremiah 17 and let the Lord, speaking through the prophet, tell you. Thus says the Lord. Now remember, blessing and cursing. Choose blessing. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind, ourselves, and makes my flesh, and I'm going to make this personal, my strength. And eventually, this is what will happen if we do that, whose heart turns away from the Lord. So we seek here, and what did the Lord say? Choose life. Choose blessing. We don't want to choose, we don't want to lean our understanding on what we trust in. There's two problems with that. When I'm dealing with my understanding, what does that involve? My mind. And when I'm dealing with my mind, that is, I'm dealing in reason. And when I start reasoning, I just stepped into the devil's playground. And over, he can attack me. Now, we're going to see how we can avoid those attacks later on. But that's one big reason that I see. The second big reason is, as I look back over my life and where I am today, I can see all those times that I walked in my plans and they weren't His plans. And I don't want to walk in my plans, because His plans are always much better. Add to that, is the Lord obligated to bless your and my plans? And some people said no, and some are looking, so I'll just tell you. James 4, about verse 13. This guy says, I'm going to go to this city, I'm going to stay for a year, and I'm going to make money. And a few verses later, the Lord says, that's not the way you ought to be thinking. So there's one example. Jesus was much more direct in Luke 12 about verse 18. There's a guy who starts talking and says, I'm rich. I got more crops than I can put in my barns. I'm going to tear them down. I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm just going to live fat and sassy. And the Lord was a little more direct with him. What did he say to him? You fool. Jesus wouldn't be, he might not last long in a full congregation talking that way. But that's the seriousness of this matter. So no, we don't want to walk in our ways. Yes, He'll have mercy. He'll continue to guide you and push you back to your other way. But what does this tell us? This tells us we want to make sure that we don't lean on our understanding and just try to do our thing. Now, let me add a word of caution. From experience, I can tell you that there have been times when I started out seeking the Lord, but I can ease over into my reasoning. But I thought about it. And I thought about it. And I thought about it. And you know what I became convinced of? I was doing His will. But when I look back, no, I wasn't. Not at all. Now, do you think that might be a reason as why people end up asking, why, Lord, sometime? So we can learn a lot just from this one verse. And then verse 6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Now, when I read that, I think of two things. What am I acknowledging and when am I doing it? Well, the what part, I think, is pretty straightforward. My eyes are on Him. It's what I'm looking at, what I'm beholding, because what I behold, I'm going to become. And so I want to make sure that I'm looking at Him at all times. The second thing that I see there on the when is that's where I want to start. I want to acknowledge Him from the very one. I want to say it's You I trust, and therefore I know that good things are going to begin to come and happen to me as I follow Your story. So what are we simply saying there? If I'm acknowledging Him, I'm doing it His way. I need to hear His way. And how do we hear? Through the Holy Spirit. I was reminded recently of something that happened to me years ago that the Lord made an impression about. We had a neighbor, Doug and Charlene, neighbors who lived next door to us in Tennessee in our last home. Really nice people. Love the Lord. And they had one of these expensive talking birds. And that bird would talk and talk, and you could walk in there and Doug would just have a conversation with him. And they asked me one time, would I feed him? They were going on a trip. Well, my experience with that bird was the first time I met him, Doug said, here, feed him this. And I stuck it in there and I thought he was going to take my finger off. I jumped. So to help me, Doug took that bird out, as he often did, and he would sit there and hold him and put him on his shoulder. Well, he stuck him right here on my shoulder. So here I am with that bird that tried to bite me, at least I thought so, on my shoulder. And then Doug starts conversing with me, and I'm listening to him and doing what? Watching that bird. And then Doug says, all right, move around with him. So I move around. He says, no, walk. So I will begin taking some steps. And I had to look where I was going. But yet, you know what I was focused on? That bird. This is my point with that. That's how we're to be with the Holy Spirit sitting upon us. Always conscious. Always listen to Him. Because the answer to 1,001 questions about what do I do, whether it's pertaining to medical stuff or not, is answered with the simple phrase, be led of the Holy Spirit. And so this is how we want to hear as we walk around listening to what He said. Now, people will say, but I don't hear. Well, what does John 10 tell us over and over? My sheep know my voice. My sheep hear my voice. So if a lot of discussion about honor last night in a session I was in. So, and let me encourage you, come back next Wednesday night and you'll be blessed, because honor is critical to your success in the Lord. But if I want to honor the Lord, then I need to get out of my vocabulary, I can't hear the Holy Spirit. So, the good part about that, and if you'll put up Matthew 16:19, when we are led in the Spirit, we've got a promise here. The Lord says, and He's saying this right after His discussion with Peter and the others about being a rock and building His kingdom on this foundation, which is revelation of who He was. But look at what He says right in the very next verse. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. In other words, when you are going out and you're looking for your way, if you seek Me, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, and you're going to know which door this key fits in so that when you walk to it, you open it. And if you don't have a key for this door, you know to keep right on moving. And then it goes on and tells us when we walk through that door, whatever needed to be bound, heaven will have bound. And whatever needed to be loosed, heaven will have loosed. How can we fail when we walk in trust in this manner? acknowledging Him in all our ways. And then it says, the rest of this verse, and He will make your path straight. And this is back to Proverbs 3, verse 6. Now again, we've all had paths that we walked down that didn't end up on the straight. And so what I believe the Lord is doing is just giving us another idea of what we can do to walk, acknowledging Him, trusting Him, wholly committed to Him, if I can use that for trust, and not ever leaning on our own understanding. You know, there's a scripture that I didn't mention, and I wrote this down. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. And it's not in, I didn't give it to put up. But let me just read you a part of it. Thanks be to God, who always, in different translations will say this differently, some say leads us to triumph in Christ. One of them says will always cause us to triumph. You ever meditated that verse? Will always cause us to triumph. That's how I see trust now. I don't worry about how I'm going to get there. He's going to show me what I need to believe, the word to stand on, how to confess it. He's going to show me that. But my trust says, I'm going there. That's the confidence that we can have. And I just believe that is a reason a lot of us have not received the things concerning healing in our body. Because, well, Lord, if you'll heal this, I can handle these others. Or, boy, this is a really big one. So let's talk a little bit about then our acknowledging Him and how we walk in this trust. So four things I want to mention to you. How do I exercise and grow in trust, just like I exercise my faith and it increases. The first is, sounds simple, a little more difficult. Completely surrender and submit to Him. Now, for a lot of people, it's easy to submit to the Lord for your ticket to heaven as the Savior. But the angels came announcing, here comes Christ the Savior, but He's also Christ the Lord. And the Lord there actually means the Master, the one who's going to instruct you what to do. Too often we begin thinking about what I've done that keeps me from hearing and all this stuff. Quit that. Just be honest with the Lord. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's no ugly and there's no bad that He can't fix. So commit it to Him. Never should we be ashamed. And I know believers that are ashamed to come to a meeting like this and ask for prayer because they want to be thought of as having great faith. But when we trust in Him, we will submit in a way to Him. 2 Timothy 2:9 has this phrase in it, but the Word of God is not bound. And that just makes me realize as I read that, there's not just one way. There's a million ways that He can get to you and I what we need, what we're committing to Him. It can happen in so many different ways, and we just need to trust Him and stand committed to Him. Now, a big watch out. Too often, when we start leaning in our understanding, we try to do something just like it did last time. Or just like so-and-so did it. And I think about the prayers we were praying earlier, knowing direction. You don't want to do something just because someone else did it. You want to do it because that's what He's instructed you to do. The best examples that I know about that are two pastors that I have listened to through the years. I'll tell you one of them's name. The other one I heard in a quiet way, so I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to disclose his name. But Jesse Duplantis, great evangelist, a man full of faith, has received many things in his life, healing-wise and others. He woke up one morning in his time of prayer. The Lord said, I want you to go see a heart doctor and take care of the problem you got. So you know what he did? He called his friend, he called his regular doctor and said, Lord told me to do this. I want to see a cardiologist now. A couple hours later, he was in there. cardiologist said to him, "Wow, you got a big problem." He said, "Well, when can we fix it?" He said, "Well, we have to get a surgeon." He said, "Call a surgeon." He said, "The Lord told me to come here and you would tell me the problem and for me to get it fixed." Now, if Jesse had done things like I've heard him talk about doing all the other times, what would he have done? "Devil, I command, take your hands." I mean, he would have started what? Walking in what we would call faith. Yet, do you realize how much faith it took for him to go to that doctor? So we don't want to just assume one way or the other. You may think your situation is just like someone else's, but listen to the Lord. And then on the other hand, there was a pastor who had cancer. And he just locked himself up in a room for a couple of days, and he heard the Lord say, "All is well." So he called his doctor and said, "All is well." That's what the Lord told me. The doctor was a church member. He said, "Fine." He said, "Come in a week or two and we'll check it again." And what happened? Gone. So I say that to say, don't just look for one way in your reasoning for something to come to pass in your life. Listen to the Lord. And He's going to give you direction on what to do. And that's really what. So second thing is seek His way, seek His word on the matter. Now concerning listening. Another way reasoning gets in our way is, "Lord, I'm going to listen for you to say to do it this way." And we don't ever hear it. So we've got to be willing to hear. Doesn't Jesus talk about several times, be careful how you hear? Why is the Lord going to tell you something that He knows you're not going to do? So we've got to make ourselves willing. And in doing that, I believe it opens up a lot of doors for us. Another thing that we think sometime when we're seeking like this is that, well, He doesn't have a word for me. That's just a flat lie from the pit of hell. He is always talking to you and I. It's not Him limiting us. It's us not being willing to sit and listen and pursue and seek Him, because He always wants to talk with you. Now, one of the ways that we know we've heard from Him and we're going the right way involves in Isaiah 26 verse 3. So if you'll put that up. When we hear from the Lord and when you know what to do, what is going to flood your soul normally? Peace will. And we know what Scripture tells us in the New Testament. Let peace be that umpire. Make it be the judge. But it begins by us first trusting Him and committing our way to Him. Now, you know this verse. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." I want to take this verse and I want to read it. I'm going to actually read it backwards, but I want you to see the relationships here. "Because," and I'm going to make it "I." Is that okay? "Because I trust in you, my mind is stayed on you. Because I trust in you and my mind is stayed on you, you are able to keep me in perfect peace." You see the difference in how we just look at that. And where does it begin? Because I'm willing to commit to Him and I know that good is coming. Several of us were talking recently about, I think it was Tuesday evening, about some of the verses, even on faith and having hope for the future. And I believe it was Pastor Robert said, "I believe that they had their eyes on the Lord's return." Because what was going on? They were under great persecution. But you know, that's the same attitude we are. If we're looking for the Lord's return, which we're instructed to do, then what He tells us to do as the step, if we know where our eternity is, then I'm not going to fear today. I'm not going to fear because what? I'm trusting in Him. I've wholly committed myself. So it's a time for honesty. And the Scripture does talk about fake faith or feigned faith. Don't ever do that. You might fool me, You might fool pastors, but there's one you're not going to fool. He knows right where you are, and he will meet you right there where you are. Now, in that respect, I'm finding that the more I trust him, the more he is encouraging, and I won't say, I'll use the word pushing, but urging is a better word. Urging me to step out where I'm not comfortable. Now, when you are told and you have peace, but you're still concerned about stepping out, my counsel to you is if you have peace, it's time to get over that concern and step out. Be it on the water, out of a boat, or be it in the next phase of your life, or to make the phone call that arranges whatever you need. Don't hesitate to step out. And don't hesitate if he says, do it this way, that doesn't involve somebody else. Be led. Know that we're going to be okay because we trust in him. And we saw scriptures that said he's going to take it over us. You know, I don't envision my good, good father telling my son to take one of his young daughters, this would have been years ago, and say, we're going to learn how to swim today. And they drop them in the water, but not in a pool. They drop them in a rushing river in a gorge. That's not the way the Lord's going to deal with us. He's going to take us step by step. And that's also something we have to be cautious of, is that first step. We may not see everything complete like we want. There may be another one to follow. The third thing is keep the negative thoughts out. So many people think, well, I can just think about, well, if I did this, what would happen? If those negative thoughts create fear, you've invited a wildfire in your mind, and it will consume you. That's why we have to do what 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says, and cast down those thoughts. But at the same time I'm casting them down, what else am I doing? I need to be replacing them with good thoughts. And Philippians 4:8, let me just read it to you. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if they be of any virtue and if there be of any praise, think or dwell on these things. Now, this says to me, if I have thoughts about what I'm to do that create any concerns or fear, then what do I know? They're not from God. And if they involve direction, here's another way to get into that peace, because you're going to know. You're going to see all that wildfire totally eliminated so it doesn't consume you. And you're going to be able to step out in confidence and submit to what he's telling you to do. In that vein, faith acts. And so when you get a word and you believe that word is from the Lord, what do you need to do? You need to be just like Abraham. Now, let me tell you the difference I see between trust, a slight difference between trust and faith. Abraham got this word of the Lord. The next morning, it says, he rose early and left. He acted on his faith. He acted on that word. But what do you think he did that evening? He trusted God. But he had to be thinking about it because he had to prepare. Which servants am I going to take? I got to get the wood ready to go. He what? He trusted in the Lord as he was going, as he was getting ready. And then he was able to step out in that faith the next morning in confidence. Worship is another way we keep him out of our mind. And that's what we always do. And we saw a scripture earlier, remember, that said what? When we trust, we're going to end up praising. So we know that's the way. And then finally, how many of you in your past have ever debated with the devil and almost had a discussion with him? I'm not waving at you. I have. And so I'm talking to me now. It's like I hear the Lord say, you fool. Don't do that. He is the master of reasoning. He's seen a lot, and he will do his best to get you to enter in a dialogue with him. For him, what do we know? Shut up, get away. Thus says the Lord. And then the final area that I wanted to mention. Children of Israel are in Egypt, and all of a sudden they start saying, why have you brought us out here to die? Why have you brought us out here where there's no order? We had. And what were they doing? They were complaining. But the question I have is, why were they complaining? Because they became impatient. That's what scripture, that's what we saw last week. So relative to trusting, just remember this phrase, time tries trust. Time tries trust. You know, we live in a microwave society. Years ago, we want it fast. Years and years ago, we had like a 26-inch snow in Johnson City and things were shut down. I was working from home because there were some telecommunications issues. And all of a sudden, my youngest son, who was probably 8 or 9 at that time, comes running in. The microwave's broke. What are we going to do? Because what? Everything to him was, I'm hungry. Stick it in the microwave. I'm satisfied. That's how we are as a society now. But time tries trust. Hebrews 6, the 11th verse, says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. Now, I'm going to read that phrase again. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence. If you are going to trust, which means you're going to stand in confidence, you're going to have to be diligent. You're going to have to invest some time to maintain that diligence. So we want to show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance, the guarantee of the thing we're hoping for until the end. And we've got that promise. Now verse 12. So that you will not be sluggish, lazy, but imitate those who through faith and what? Patience inherited the promise. I really believe we could look at this as saying, through faith and through trust, we inherit the promises. Now, let me give you one other scripture that just emphasizes it. Colossians 1. And again, this is one of the devil's most popular weapons. Well, it's been 2 days now. You don't feel any different, do you? Have you looked at that thing lately? It's gotten bigger. And on it goes. But let me read you these verses. For this reason also, since the day we've heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. Now, this is the Holy Spirit's praying for you through Paul, because all scripture is inspired by him. And we're going to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. So we've talked about knowing his will, knowing what to do, being led. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, nothing to do with my flesh. Verse 10. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now listen to verse 11. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Why? For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Joyously. Now, he was calling us to grow in spiritual wisdom and knowledge, and that's where our trust lies. Not in our what? In our flesh. And in that, we can do what? We can attain all steadfastness and all patience, so that as time tries our trust, instead of our trust waning, our trust increases. This is how you and I can walk. So So I want to just close today by going back to 2 Timothy 1:12. For I know whom I have believed. I'm trusting. And I am convinced I'm trusting in His ability to guard what I have committed to Him, what I have entrusted to Him. And He's going to do it until the day of His return. That's who you are. That's the way we can walk. Trusting in the Lord. Hearing His words, His direction, and then stepping out in faith and acting on what He tells us to act. Father, I just thank You for Your word today. I thank You that it is encouraging. It has encouraged me as I even prepared it. It's enlightened my eyes on some areas where I've missed it. And I thank You that I have repented from those. I've turned from the way I was thinking. And I'm going in another direction. I'm looking at You. You're on my shoulder talking to me. You're right there in me, just nurturing me. And I hear Your voice and the voice of another I won't listen to. I won't think in my own mind and develop my plans. I will seek Your face. I will trust in You. And You will direct my paths and make them straight. And I thank You, Father, that includes every area of our lives. So today, Lord, I just ask for people who've been standing for a healing to be strengthened in their inner man, knowing what we've talked about today, so that they can stand and commit their whole being to You. This problem, this situation, if you're believing for something, just see yourself casting it over to Him. In Peter, where he talks about cast your cares, it literally means in the original language, because it matters to Him. That's you. So cast it away. Don't go pick it up again. Stand firm in your trust. And if it takes time, then you know that your trust is just getting stronger and you're not just going to lay it down. If you've got prayer requests, please, those of you who are watching online, please feel free to submit them. And for those of you who are here today, we'll be happy to pray with you following the service.